Truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I say to you, you must be born again. Like I said, here's Jesus all of a sudden taking Nicodemus and everything that he's known, everything that he's learned, everything that he has been taught, and is changing it. Because Jesus isn't speaking of a physical rebirth. What he's speaking about is to have a relationship with God, a spiritual rebirth through faith, not by works, not by following rules, but simply by faith. And as Nicodemus and the others are sitting there, they're a little stunned. They're kind of shocked by these words and baffled. Well, then about that time, a gust of wind blows the curtains, is what I'm going to say. Because Jesus always uses things for teaching. And this is a teaching moment. Because look what he said in verse 8. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from, where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. You see, that's like Jesus to do. Hear a little wind blowing outside and use that as a way to illustrate a teaching. He's telling them and saying, you can't earn it. You can't create it. God starts the task. God finishes the task. That's the way it is. Where does the wind come from? We don't know. We may know the direction it's blowing out of. Guys just told me a while ago that it's fixing to come out of the north because we're going to drop down to 79 tomorrow. But we don't know exactly where the wind comes from. What causes it? Well, that's what Jesus is just trying to get Nicodemus to understand. You have to see it by faith, not by sight. We can't see the wind, can you? You can see the curtain moving. You can see the sand blowing if you live out where I live, you know, when those northers come through. But you can't see the wind. Not really. You can see the trees moving, the flowers blowing. But by faith, you know that wind is there. So spiritual birth does not come by the works of men and women as Nicodemus thought, as Nicodemus had strived all of his life for. It comes from the power of God. Look at verse 9. Nicodemus said to him, how can these be? And Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we've seen, and you do not accept our testimony. You see, Jesus is preaching and teaching, but Nicodemus is coming there in the dark of the night, in secret, wanting to find out more. And Jesus is saying, no, you have to believe. You have to accept it. You have to understand it. So, you know, stop and think for just a moment. Who creates life? God does. Nicodemus would have known that God was the creator. Who breathed life into the very first human? It was God. Nicodemus would have known that from the Old Testament scripture. So, just like our creative reproductive stuff, how does that happen? It's all done by God. God created the human body. God's the one who made us who we are. And just like physical birth was done and comes from God, I believe that strongly, that all that is made, ordained by God. So much spiritual birth. God has to be a big part of it. God is a part of it. God is the one who initiates it, and God is the one who helps bring it to pass. But this Jewish scholar, he just didn't understand that salvation comes by faith. He'd never been taught that before. And he was a very learned man, a very educated man, and he was a man of the Pharisees and of the Sanhedrin. He was very smart. So Jesus is going to use a very familiar story with him. Look at what he goes on and says. Verse 13. No one has ascended into heaven, but he who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. Now, that sounds a little funny, but to old Nick now, remember he was a scholar of the Torah. He was a scholar of the Old Testament. He knew exactly what Jesus was talking about. He knew that it sounded strange talking about a snake lifted up on a pole. But Nicodemus knew the story. Look over in Numbers chapter 21. Because here's how the story goes. You see, the people of Moses, the Israelites, they were grumbling at Moses again. They were wandering in the wilderness. And here they start again. Look at verse 4. Then they set out from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea up to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient because of the journey. The people spoke against God and Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this miserable food. Talking about the manna. You see, here they are, the people of Israel. They're out wandering in the wilderness, and then they start grumbling. God's been providing for them for over 40 years, but these spoiled brats start moaning and groaning again. Kind of sounds like us sometimes, huh? You know, God provides, but we still moan. All they had, you know, everything that they had, God had done. Well, God got sick and tired of it. He didn't like their whining and his moaning. So look what he does in verse 6. The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many people of Israel died. It's like a Halloween scary story. There's snakes everywhere. Everywhere you turn, there's a snake, and they're biting people, and folks are dropping like flies and dying everywhere. You know, God said, I'm tired of all this whining. So, everywhere they turn, they ran into a snake. What were they going to do? Well, the people go to Moses. They understand that's where they got to go. So they go to Moses and they plead with him to ask God for mercy. Verse 7. So the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned because we have spoken against the Lord and you. Intercede with the Lord that he may remove the serpents from us. And Moses interceded for the people. Verse 8. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a standard, and it shall come about that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, he will live. And Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a standard, and it came about that if a serpent bit a man, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. You see, Nicodemus knew what Jesus was talking about in John chapter 3 when he said that the man had to be lifted up. As Moses lifted up the serpents in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Jesus is trying to tell Moses it was by faith those people were saved. When those people had the faith to believe, to look at that fiery, that pole with that serpent and that God had given Moses to create, what happened to them? They were saved. But they did it by faith. It wasn't nothing that they physically could do. You know, they could go touch the pole, I guess. But it wasn't about that. It was simply by looking at it. When they looked at it, and by faith they believed that that could heal them and stop them from being dying from the serpent bite, it did. So Jesus is trying to help Nicodemus to understand exactly what the story was. You know, by just looking at the pole, they could find healing. A simple act of faith. You know what? There's another simplistic promise of faith that continues on in John chapter 13. It's verse 16, which you all know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You see, that's a promise by faith. Whoever believes in him, not who works for him, not who earns his way, not who does good things, not who goes out and does good deeds, but simply by faith. Just like the Israelites had to look at that pole to be healed by God, they did it by faith. Simply the same thing for us. We simply have to look to Christ and believe by faith what he did for us at the cross. He saved us. He gave us life. He allows us to be spiritually reborn. And you know what? People today, they try to make that real complicated. They try to make it difficult. And it's not difficult. It's not hard. It's faith. When we believe by faith in Jesus Christ as God's Son and as our Savior, and we believe that He forgives our sins, it happens. Just like we talked about this morning. Once for all, Christ did it for us. It's done deal. What we have to do is by faith believe in that. And so many times, people want to make it more than that. They want to do something different. They think they need to find a cure. They need to figure out how they can live a holy life. They need to try to climb these massive stairways on their knees to earn their right to come to God. They take long hikes and spiritual treks trying to get closer to God. And that's nothing at all what it's all about. There's even some that will walk on hot rocks with their bare feet. I don't know about you, I wouldn't even do that with my boots on, you know? That's kind of dumb. But they do it thinking that it's drawing them closer to God. All they're trying to do is conjure up a way that sin can be cured. But we know the cure. The cure has been given. It's a simple truth. That whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, you probably have heard this. And you may even think it's in the Bible, because a lot of folks I hear and a lot of Christian folks quote this little verse. God helps those who... Yeah, that's not in the Bible. And no way you're going to find that at all. That's not scriptural. But people say that all the time. I hear good Christian folks saying, God helps those who help themselves. No, He doesn't either. God helps those who by faith believe and trust. We can't do anything other than trust. You know, it's a popular opinion when we say that, but we cannot fix ourselves by hard work. Oh, we can change our outward appearance. I mean, you know, you can go on a diet and change things. You can go to a plastic surgeon and have this pulled up and this tucked and this changed. You can dye your hair, change the color of it, but you cannot change what's on the inside. No matter how hard you work, no matter what you do, there's only one way, and that's by faith. Faith. We forget that our faith is something that is so simple that we try to do things. God wants you to do the same thing as the Israelites. Believing. Trusting. By faith. And guess what? He'll do the rest. You don't have to. He does it for you. When you believe and you have the faith, God takes care of everything else. Whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The Apostle Paul taught us this. But people are counted as righteous, not because of their work, but because of their faith in God, who forgives sinners. You see, we try to make things so complicated. We try to do things and make things harder than what it really is. You know, we're saved by grace through faith, not by works. Nothing that we do can do it. When Nicodemus, you know what? He finally got it. He finally understood it. Because the Bible shows us that he understood, because over in John 19, verse 39, after Christ had died on the cross, he's there with Joseph of Arimathea, helping to take Jesus off that cross and to be buried. Verse 39 says, with him, talking about Joseph, came Nicodemus, the man who had come to Jesus at night. Now this helping with the burial of Jesus after he had been publicly executed was a public declaration of Nicodemus's belief and faith that Jesus was right, that spiritual rebirth comes by a person's faith. That passage is in there for a reason, to help us to understand Nicodemus. He got it. He understood it. Otherwise, he wouldn't have made that public declaration. He put everything he had on the line. I mean, his entire religious teaching and faith, his status with the Jewish people, when he helped bury Jesus, that was gone. He was a traitor. He was shunned. He was kicked out of the club, so to speak. But he did it because of his faith in who Christ is. You see, God started it with the Israelites. Jesus finished it at the cross and with his resurrection. And now God leaves it up to us to believe it. And when we believe it and trust by faith that God can do it, He will. He will. And it's not some complicated thing. People try to do all this stuff and do all these other things. And it simply says in the Bible that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth, he confesses, resulting in salvation. It's not complicated. It's not difficult. It's something that even children can understand. So why do we do it? Why do people think that they have to help out God? Because we forget that it's simply faith that God requires. He doesn't need anything from us. What he wants from us is our faith and our trust in him. When we trust him and we believe him and by faith we follow him, he can do anything. He can do anything. Father, I thank you for the word of God. And I thank you how there's so many truths within it. Truths that help us to understand that it's not complicated. We try to make things difficult, and it's not. The people of the world have not understood because they try to go at it in a different way. There's so many religions in this world that have lost sight of how easy it is because they don't believe that it could simply be something done by faith. We know it's complicated in ways. I mean, you have to make changes. But you know what? God does it. You don't. You don't have to get cleaned up before you come to God. You come to God and He'll clean you up. I'm a testimony of that. So, Lord, we thank you for your work and your grace. And, Lord Jesus, we lift you up. May you be magnified and glorified. And, Father, for our nation, we pray for healing. Oh, Lord, you need to come. You need to fall on this place. You need to touch the hearts of people out there amongst us and people around us and people across this nation and help them to understand and see that God is a God of love, a God of mercy, a God of grace, and that faith is what saves us. This nation was founded upon the principles of God's word, and this nation has to come back to that. God, you're going to get angry at us if we don't. Just like you did with the Israelites who wouldn't trust you, who wouldn't listen to you. So my prayer for this country is, Lord, that by faith we'll step out and demonstrate to others your love. And that it's not complicated. It's simply a matter of believing and trusting that Jesus Christ is the Savior. And it's in his powerful, beautiful, wonderful, sweet name I pray. Amen. Now for you.